Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I'm talking with Dr. Stephen Schnur, author of the health-driven weight loss book, The Reality Diet, Lose the Pounds for Good with a Cardiologist's Simple, Healthy, Proven Plan. Now, Dr. Schnur is a board-certified internist and cardiologist who has been in private practice for more than 15 years. He received his medical degree from the University of Miami School of Medicine and received a fellowship in cardiology from the Mount Sinai Medical Center, where he was assigned as chief medical resident. Dr. Schnur is the founder and president of South Florida Cardiology Associates, the largest cardiology practice in South Florida, with services in 17 locations and encompassing 18 physicians. He was one of the earliest cardiologists to perform diagnostic tests in his office rather than referring people to outside facilities. Ever mindful of his patients' comfort and convenience, Dr. Schnur has just put the finishing touches on a new high-tech office with spa-like atmosphere where Reality Diet breakfast food and snacks are available for patients and staff. His research has appeared in such publications as the American Heart Journal, and he is a frequent speaker at professional conferences. Dr. Schnur lives in Miami with his wife and two children. We are so lucky to have Dr. Schnur on the phone today and would like to welcome him to Inside Scoop Live. Welcome, Dr. Schnur.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm interested to hear a little of the backstory as to how your work as a cardiologist led you into the direction of weight loss and dieting.
Well, you know, several years ago, I was noticing a lot of patients coming in with a lot of side effects from a lot of the fad, and at that time, most of the diets were low-carb diets, but through the years, I've seen a lot of the fad diets come and go, and, you know, last 5 or 10 years, a lot of patients were just developing a lot of bad side effects, different problems with their heart rhythm, constipation, headaches, lack of energy to exercise, and a lot of those patients were asking, and my other patients as well, what diet to recommend. And at that point, it was very hard for me to find a diet that I wholeheartedly could recommend. So that kind of sent me on a mission to kind of research all the diets out there and to research the literature and to try and find what I consider to be a more realistic and a more healthy approach to weight loss that was more along the lines of kind of a blueprint for lifelong health versus just a quick fix, getting someone to lose quick weight, and then they're just going to bounce right back.
So what is the difference with the Reality Diet? Why don't you just get right into it and tell your listeners today what your diet is all about?
Well, you know, when I started looking through the literature and reviewing it, thousands and thousands of articles, you know, it became clear that the one macronutrient or the one thing that was consistent in all the cultures and the individuals that were the healthiest, that were the thinnest, and also inside had the lowest risk of heart disease and diabetes were those individuals that were taking in more fiber. And by fiber, it's really taking in the right carbohydrates, not only the fruits and vegetables, but the right whole grains, products, and the peas, the beans, the lentils. So the cultures that were taking in the most fiber were always the healthiest, they lived the longest, and they had the lowest incidence of diabetes. So it became obvious to me that, you know, the people in this day and age are not taking in enough fiber. Instead of women taking in 25 grams or taking in 12 grams, instead of men taking in 38 grams, they're only taking in about 15 grams. So I realized very quickly that, well, one thing is for sure, that one of the keys was to try and get people to take in more fiber. And the question was, well, how do I do it? And it's not as simple as telling people, well, just take more Metamucil or these fiber supplements, because you're really missing out on a lot of the antioxidants and the vitamins that are in foods that have enough fiber. So it became a kind of a mission to find out in a simplistic way of how to tell people when they go to the store how to pick the right products and how to pick the right foods. So if they pick the right foods, then they'll take in enough fiber. So now, in addition to all the healthy benefits of fiber, what's interesting is that just by raising the amount of fiber in your diet, you lose about 12 pounds of fat a year. In addition to that, it decreases cravings and keeps you full. And by decreasing cravings, we realize now that cravings are one of the reasons that people have a hard time staying with these other diets, because they start to want to eat. They have a hard time staying on a calorie-restricted diet. So once we realized that this was the key, we actually went to the supermarket and we spent about 6 months researching kind of a simple guideline for people to follow to pick the right products. And we came up with a simple rule, which was called our 290 rule, which says that for every 90-calorie serving, you need at least 2 grams of fiber. So now how does that play out? When you go to the bread department and you see all the white bread and the brown bread and you're trying to decide which one to pick, you just simply look at the label. You look at two lines. You look at the calories per serving, which is the top line, and you look at the amount of fiber per serving. And as long as the ratio was at least 2 to 90, so some products would have 4 grams of fiber for 100-calorie serving, so that was better than 2 to 90. That would be a healthy product to pick. If one said 1 gram of fiber and 100 calories, obviously that would not be the product to pick. So by using the rule, when you shop to pick the products that you're going to prepare meals or you're going to eat, that would allow you to take in more fiber. So it became a very easy process for us. We put 1,000 patients on a diet that was governed by this simple rule, and we found out that after a year, they were losing about 10 pounds a month. So in 3 months, they were losing an average of about 30 to 32 pounds. But more importantly, their blood sugar went down, their cholesterol went down, their blood pressure normalized. They were able to get off a lot of the medications that they were taking. So we found that for people young, middle-aged, and old, that by following this simple rule, we were able to, you know, in effect, really help a lot of people. So then we went to the next step, which was coming up with some meal plans. But we realized very quickly that one meal plan really doesn't fit all, and one meal plan doesn't fit men as well as it fits women. So we needed to develop two different diets, which is a little bit different than the other diets out there, because men and women really are metabolically different, and men and women need a different diet in order to lose weight. So we really developed two different diets that are both represented in our book, which allows men and women to kind of tailor to their needs the type of diet where they can lose weight. But I also found that one of the keys was flexibility, because some people like Italian food, and some people like Chinese food, and some people like sushi. So we had to make it so that within our diet, you can mix and match and pick and choose, so that if you love Monday's breakfast, which had oatmeal, you can have it every day. But if you loved to have eggs and you like the egg dish from Tuesday, you could have that every day if you like. So we allow people to mix and match Monday's breakfast, Wednesday's lunch, Thursday's dinner. And by doing that, we created a very simple and flexible plan that once you learn, you can actually go out on your own and start to prepare your own meals. Some of the menus are more complicated than others. Some are more simplistic. Some are made so that you can pack them up and take them on the go, and some are made to prepare at home. Again, the idea was to provide a huge variety so that people were able to tailor it to their needs. And so we released the diet, we released the book, and, you know, it's been a very successful experience, and we've had a lot of people lose a lot of weight. But at the same time, again, it's more of a lifelong approach. It's more of a lifestyle. We endorse a lot of exercise, and we tailor it according, again, to someone's particular needs. But it's important to combine both the exercise with the diet in order to, again, be more of a long-standing, sustained approach rather than just a quick fix type of approach.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like there is quite a bit of flexibility with your program. What have your patients and your clients said to you about this flexibility and the lack of restrictions that you see in a lot of diets right now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you look at historically all the people that go on, quote, diets, about 50 to almost 75% will fail pretty quickly on these diets. So when we did on our diet and we looked at how many people just, you know, gave up, because that's an important statistic to look at, we found that about 20% of people to 25% gave up. So we found, at least looking at the 1,000 patients we initially put on it, that our attrition rate was much lower than the standard attrition rate. We went on to put another 2,000 people on it, and we then put on, for these 2,000 people, we didn't have a dietitian monitoring them because I wanted to see what the real world would be like, and we found also about a 25% attrition rate, which is, again, lower. No matter what, you know, with certain people, no matter what you do, no matter what flexibility you give them, you know, sometimes it's just not going to work. So you're always going to get a certain percent of people that are going to drop off any plan. They just don't want to be on any plan whatsoever. So we found when we stacked up against the other plans out there that we found our plan, because of its flexibility and because it's more real world, and that's kind of what keyed me to the name Reality Diet, more of a real approach for real people living in the real world, we found that people were able to stay on it much longer and actually make it more of a lifestyle than, again, a so-called, this is a diet. We really wanted to get away from the word diet. We use it on the book because if you don't put it on the book, people don't really even understand what you're representing, but really it's more of a lifestyle.
I think the way you incorporate reality into the title with diet speaks volumes in itself, that this is actually a lifestyle change. Now, you don't shy away from carbs in your plan, which is a bit against the norm of what you're seeing right now with the high-protein type of diets. Would you explain the difference between healthy carbs and unhealthy carbs and how you do incorporate that in your plan?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that when you looked at the low-carb diets, they were really shying away from not only the healthy carbs, but the unhealthy carbs. So now, what's a healthy carb? Well, carbohydrates are carbohydrates. I mean, it's basically sugar. So a carbohydrate is really glucose, and that's a carbohydrate, but it's what it's contained in. So, for example, a carbohydrate, which you find in a fruit, in an apple, in an orange, is really a healthy carbohydrate because it's found with vitamins, antioxidants, and fiber. So it has a lot of other nutrients which are beneficial for your body. Now you take fructose or glucose that is found in a can of soda. Well, there, the only thing in the can of soda of any value, I mean, is the carbohydrate, but it's surrounded by nothing. So we call it almost an empty calorie, because you're getting calories from the carbohydrate, but it's surrounded by nothing. To be honest, it's almost surrounded by things that may not be inert. In other words, it could harm you because there's a lot of additives in the sodas that you find that we don't know what the long-term effects will be. So empty calories or bad carbohydrates or carbohydrates that are surrounded by, I would almost say, nothing, that which you find, you know, in sodas, and healthy carbohydrates are carbohydrates that are found in your fruits and your vegetables, in your peas and beans, your whole grain. When you look at flour, white flour, there is an unhealthy carbohydrate. They've taken the carbohydrate that was present in the whole grain and they stripped out the coating of the whole grain, what we call the fibrous coat, and they actually strip out the actual reproductive part of the seed, so all you're left with is pure carbohydrate, but again, none of the vitamins, antioxidants, and fiber. So again, those are considered bad carbohydrates. So we find that it's not the carbohydrates that are bad for you, it's having carbohydrates that have no added value.
And no fiber attached.
And no fiber. And, you know, what's interesting is when you look at our diet, really, our diet is 45% carbohydrates. It's a little bit higher in fat, 30% healthy fat, and about 25% in protein, which is a little bit on the higher side. The American Heart Association diet for years was 55% carbohydrates. Ours is 45% carbohydrates. They did a recent study which showed that when they took the American Heart Association diet and they took 10% away from the carbohydrates and they put it a little bit more protein and a little bit more healthy fat, that those individuals had better lipid profiles, better cholesterols, lower blood pressure, so a lower risk of heart disease. So what's interesting, and this study was done at Johns Hopkins, what's interesting is our diet kind of came out before the study ever came out. So it's interesting that I basically took that 10%, which was kind of the bad carbohydrates, and I incorporated the healthy fats and the lean proteins into the diet. So in essence, we have a diet which is moderate in carbohydrates, but all the good carbohydrates, lean proteins, all the healthy proteins, and all the healthy fats, the mono and polyunsaturated fats. We kept away from, as much as possible, any saturated or trans fats, since those are the fats that cause heart disease and cause inflammation.
So you're actually seeing proof of what you've discovered over a number of years here in the practice that you do as a cardiologist with tests that are actually being conducted right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's different, you know, about what I think I do or as a cardiologist and as a physician is that I can study and I can see what my diet or what my lifestyle plan is doing for patients hands-on. I'm not someone who just writes something and thinks, well, maybe this is going to work or maybe it's not going to work, and then throws it in a book and throws it out into the market, and then, I hate to say it, pays a celebrity to say, hey, I lost 30 pounds on A, B, and C pill.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, and everyone in the world sees this and says, well, you know, if this celebrity lost this weight, then I should do it. But they don't realize that the celebrity got paid $500,000 to say it. You know, I mean, I sometimes watch the commercials. I'm sorry, you've seen all these infomercials on TV.
Yes.
And it just annoys me to no end. You know, I'm a very straight up, honest kind of person. I like to not only walk the walk and talk the talk, but I do what I say. But when I see these infomercials and you see all these celebrities, and they not only is it there for the weight loss, you know, pills and diets, but you see it for cosmetics and you see it for, you know, it's amazing, you know, how many are out there and how false and misleading the advertising, and they're just faking people into spending money buying products and buying pills and buying all these things with the hope that it's going to work. And really, you know, it's unfortunate that it's not more of a regulated industry in general.
That's absolutely true. What percentage of the population do you feel is actually dieting at any given moment, and why do you think that this has become almost an epidemic? You know, you're mentioning with the infomercials and it's just everywhere. Why do you think that weight loss has just become an epidemic in this country?
Well, I mean, I think at any one time, I think 50% of women are dieting and I think 30% of men are dieting. So it's more prevalent with women, but it's a pretty high percentage. I mean, I think they right now 1 billion people in the world are overweight or obese, and about 300 million are of those 1 billion are obese. So now why is it such a growing epidemic? You know, our society, unfortunately, is kind of being built in such a way that we are surrounded by commercials and surrounded by advertisements, and we're surrounded by food. Wherever you go, I mean, and you know, wherever you travel, whatever you do, there's just so many fast food restaurants and so many restaurants. And so the easeability of finding food around, it's pretty easy. They did a study, and they found that within a mile of any school in our country, there's a 95% chance right now of finding a fast food restaurant. So it's basically in your face. So on one hand, you have in your face food, and therefore we are consuming about 200 to 500 calories more a day than we were years ago. And then on the other end, you know, our society is also built around easeability. In other words, instead of walking up a set of stairs, let's take the elevator or the escalator. Instead of getting up out of your chair and turning the television channel, which we used to do, I guess, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
You now have a remote control. I mean, even if you wanted to get up and manually turn the channel of your TV, I think you'd have a hard time finding where it is. I mean, I don't even know if it exists or if it's in the back of the TV. I mean, it used to be right in the front of the TV, but nowadays they kind of hide it somewhere. So you're almost a slave to your remote control. You know, they did also a study, and they found that the one state in the U.S. that did not have an increase in obesity was Oregon. And the reason that was last year is they're the only place that has this intricate bicycle system where people actually use their bicycles to get to and from work. And so it's interesting that, you know, our society is built on decreasing the amount of exercise we're doing. Even though you see it all over the place, you see, you know, gyms and you see all these places and you think that people are exercising more, the majority do not exercise more, that actually our society is built in a way that we tend to do less. It's kind of funny, when you go to a parking lot and you're parking, let's say, to go to the mall, and let's say there's a spot closest to the front door of the mall, then there's a spot furthest away from the mall. Everyone is fighting. Sometimes people drive around the parking lot. They won't park in the empty spot because it's too far away. They are waiting for someone to pull out of the spot closest to the door because they feel like they've gotten the spot closest to the door. That kind of mentality, unfortunately, is the mentality of people. They feel that their life is very busy. They don't have the time. They can't do it. Almost, you know, every excuse in the book. So I think that's what's kind of happened.
That really is true. Now, you are a very strong proponent of aerobic exercise, and that does play a part of the reality diet. Now, you take a little bit of a different twist on it, as you really encourage the aerobics more so than the weight training, which some diets are the opposite. Can you explain that, your choice for the aerobic exercise, and also what kind of requirements towards exercise you have for the reality diet?
Well, you know, we propose about 2,000 calories a week, which is about 300 calories a day, and which is about 30 to 40 minutes of exercise. Now, I tell people, it's not, you don't have to do 30 minutes at once. You could do 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes. You can split it up, and the studies show that splitting up exercise is just as good as exercising all at once. So that helps a lot of people get over the idea that they need to allot 45 minutes at a particular time of the day for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is I tell people to try and surround themselves with people that like to be active. I go, you know, if you surround yourself with people that like to be active, then that's going to help to motivate you to be active. For instance, usually at 4 o'clock at the end of my day, you know, as a cardiologist, all my friends start calling me, hey, are we playing basketball today? Are we playing tennis today? What are we doing after work today? So days that I don't feel like exercising, they kind of help to push me to do it. So it's important to surround yourself with people that want to eat healthy and want to exercise, and that'll help to motivate you. As far as why aerobics and not weight training, and I've done both, and I do both. I mean, I've done heavy weight lifting when I was in college, and I got really big muscles and I got fat, and I've done the aerobic part of it, and I've done the light resistance part of it. And I've reviewed the literature, and it appears that what appears from the literature is the best way to maintain weight loss and to help with weight loss is the aerobic component. What I mean by the aerobic is really walking. The studies show that walking is probably one of the best exercises you can do. Now, some people don't like to do a lot of walking. They like swimming, and I tell them, if you like to swim, swim. Some people like to do racquetball, play racquetball. Some people like to climb mountains, climb mountains. Now, weight training or heavy weight lifting, first of all, is difficult for most people. So then you get into light weight training and resistant exercises, which is very lightweight. Now, I like resistance training, and I think you should do it twice a week or once a week. What I like about it is that as you lose weight, you're going to lose muscle. Muscle burns calories. So you want to try as much as possible not to lose muscle mass. You want to try and maintain muscle mass. No matter what you do, you're going to lose muscle mass as you lose weight. The idea is to try and limit the amount of muscle mass. So it is good to do the resistance training with the aerobics to limit the amount of muscle you lose. So that'll help to burn calories. But if you have a choice and you're limited in the amount of time you have during a week, and someone says, look, I have 30 minutes every day. What should I concentrate on? I tell people, listen, walk, run, jog, do some resistant exercises during the week. But in order to burn calories, increase metabolic rate, it's better to slant your exercise routine towards doing something that keeps you active. People who say, you know what, don't do aerobics and just do weight training is a mistake. It's a mistake straight out. So, and they've done studies, and studies show, there's no doubt about it, that the best routine is to concentrate more on the walking and more on the aerobics and to do the resistance training, but it should be slanted a little bit more towards the aerobic side.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that one of the biggest mistakes people make is to diet as opposed to change their lifestyle. Now, what I think one of the other mistakes people make, from what I've read that you have mentioned on your website, is that people typically want to lose weight quickly, and that's a big problem. What are your realistic weight loss goals for the Reality Diet?
I mean, realistically, we shoot for about 2.5 pounds a week, which is about 10 pounds a month. Now, why is that a kind of a healthy way to lose weight? Well, one thing is for sure, that if you lose weight too quickly, number one is there's only a certain amount of fat loss that you can lose per day in any case. So what happens is when you lose the weight quickly, you're not really losing fat. You're losing more just water weight or lean muscle. So you're really not accomplishing what you think you're accomplishing in any case. And what happens is you lose that weight quickly. It's all water weight. And then very quickly, you're going to put that back on, and that's going to lead to kind of a yo-yo type effect, and you're going to start to feel bad about it. You're going to say, I can't do it. I'm putting the weight back on too quickly. It's kind of a better approach where you're actually losing true fat, and you're losing it at, you know, 10 pounds a month, because it'll help to reinforce what you're doing rather than these quick kind of water losses. The other problem is, again, if you lose too quickly, and it is water, you can lower your blood pressure, you can feel weak, you can feel dizzy, you won't have the energy to exercise, which is also an important part of, again, a lifelong approach. So, again, you lose quickly, you develop side effects. You develop side effects, you don't feel well. You don't feel well, you don't want to stay on the plan. You don't want to stay on the plan, you don't want to exercise. It just becomes this cyclical disaster. So again, you know, it's almost like a race to the finish line. And you ever see the race where you have the fast person and you got the tortoise? You know, the rabbit and the tortoise. The rabbit starts off really fast, but maybe he doesn't finish ahead of the tortoise. That tortoise kind of, at the end of the day, gets across the finish line and the rabbit's exhausted. Doesn't make it across the finish line. So I kind of would rather be, I hate to say it, but I'd rather be the one that wins the race at the end. It's the same thing with a marathon. You ever see the person who starts off in a marathon race and he's up in front for two-thirds of the race, but he doesn't win the race? Another person who takes it nice and steady, and about three-quarters into the race, you see him starting to surpass the other person. He's the one that wins. So it's almost the same approach with losing weight. Do you want to be the person that starts off fast but doesn't win the race, or do you want to be the one that is steady and wins the race?
That's a great visualization, and that is reality.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Absolutely. So what is your website for listeners if they'd like to get more information or buy your book?
www.realitydiet.com.
Okay, great. Well, our time is just so quickly coming to an end here, and I wanted to offer the last minute or so for you with any final thoughts.
I mean, my final thought is to tell people that, listen, being thin on the outside is important. Being thin on the inside is just important. When you're looking for a plan, whether it's my plan or another plan, just think to yourself that, number one, it's important to be monitored by a physician as you go through it. Number two is think about long-term. Think about a blueprint for lifelong health. Think about eating well, having energy to exercise, being happy with yourself, trying to develop a lifestyle that's going to be there forever, and try and represent to your children, to your friends, to your family, you know, a plan that you know that they'll be able to also mimic and take home with them, and also develop an attitude of, again, people have to understand that what they do is really what influences their family. So it's important to represent to your family an idea and a plan that is really good, healthy, and lifelong.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Schnur. It has been so fascinating talking with you today, and we certainly appreciate the time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, readers and listeners, as mentioned, you can buy The Reality Diet at www.realitydiet.com or through local and online booksellers. As well, for more on Dr. Schnur and the Reality Diet, you can go to readerviews.com, where you can find a recent book review and online interview. Thanks so much for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I hope you've enjoyed this very insightful interview. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.
Come on, two more. Come on.
Yeah, you know, try Whole Foods.
Okay.
Buy some of those packages that, and they've got some great flavors. And the chocolate.